Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Question. Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. And we are so lucky to have you guys tune in. Only one reason we do it every week, and that is just for you. As I said, I'm Mac Newton, and sitting in with me today on today's show, of course, the legendary Magic Man, making everything happen.
Thank you, Mac Daddy. Excited for another show here.
You are welcome. The pleasure is all mine. And of course, in her customary seat, making the studio feel good, look good, smell good, just simply be good. That is the fabulous Natasha.
Hi, Mac.
How are you?
Fabulous.
You want to say hello to all your fans around the world?
Absolutely.
Yes, of
hello,
course.
Hello, everybody in the whole world.
The whole world?
The whole world.
The universe?
Everything.
Intergalactic.
In galactic too.
Okay.
Well, what do you think? You're listening.
I watched Thor last night, so we'll say all the realms.
The realms. And of course, A-Bombs with her notepad and her pen at the ready. What's up, darling?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. What do you have to say to your legions of fans around the world?
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Our musical guest host today, as we continue listening to our impressions of some of the greatest saxophone players in the world, we simply went directly to the top of the food chain, and I mean the one and only trade. And when I say trade, I mean John Coltrane. Probably John Coltrane has more people named with their first their first name is now Coltrane after John Coltrane. My very first guitar player here in Phoenix, she had named her hunting dog, she called it Coltrane, after John Coltrane.
I think there's only one person anybody thinks of when they hear that name.
Coltrane. John Coltrane. I'm going to tell you right now, he is one of my favorite jazz musicians of all time. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than John Coltrane. Just doesn't. I mean, during his time, which was relatively brief as his jazz career goes, I think he was probably one of the most influential, at least one of the top four, with Charlie Parker, generally called Birdman, okay, who inspired John Coltrane to start to pick up the tenor saxophone in the first place. Lester, frequently called the Prez, Lester Prez Young, and of course Coleman Hawkins. Now I would really have to add Sonny Rollins to that list. So, but early in his career, John Coltrane didn't really show this prodigious talent. And we're listening to one of the greatest straight ahead jazz selling albums of all time. This is John Coltrane's Blue Train. In fact, so much enjoyed by yours truly that I actually purchased a poster of the album cover, and in my, I have it on the wall in my dressing area. Blue Train.
Just this one more standards like you're talking about?
Well, no, this is a piece that was actually composed by John Coltrane, because unknown, just like to yourself, John Coltrane was also a very prodigious composer of all kinds of material, because his genres is a broad spectrum of jazz, straight ahead jazz that we're listening to right now, avant-garde jazz that he got into with the legendary Miles Davis, bebop, of course, and post-bebop, and free jazz, which is not as listenable, free jazz especially. Free jazz simply means a complete free expression of players, and it may bear little resemblance to what the listener may be used to. So it has a very limited audience. But anyway, John Coltrane took full advantage of that environment to foster his unique abilities as a very spontaneous saxophone player.
Improvisational.
Very much so. Thank you. Very, very much so. As a composer, band leader, I think he's probably best known for his years that he spent with, as I said, the legendary quintet formed in the 50s by Miles Davis, featuring Philly Joe Jones on drums, Red Garland on piano. And a lot of the critics thought that instead of Coltrane, who was very new at the time, they should have chose Sonny Rollins. But Miles Davis is Miles Davis, and he's not a critic, and he has an insight into the potential. So many of the greats got their start playing at some point with Miles, at least until Miles went completely crazy and no one could understand anything he played. But anyway, he became a real nice balance to Miles Davis in his greatest years, because as you can tell from listening to him here, he loves to play with a flurry of notes, and which was a nice balance to Miles Davis, who loved space. I mean, he truly bought into the music is the space between the notes. And that was a nice balance for Miles Davis and John Coltrane. All right, gang, you're going to get more about John Coltrane coming your way as the Power Hour proceeds on its track. We have a great show on tap for you guys today. In addition to our musical guest host, John Coltrane, our early segment, we're going to spend a little time talking about the 3-2 eating plan. All right? We haven't touched on that for a while, and we're going to use some time to do that. Just to clue you in, it is now exactly 7 minutes past the hour of 5 in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona today. Fall has finally arrived in the valley. Probably no more than 75 degrees today. And rain sprinkling all about the area. It hasn't broken loose and just soaked us. But a lot of people are wishing for that. I keep telling everyone, it's raining up in New York right now. Maybe you're going to catch a plane. And I hear it's raining in Seattle, too. But the desert...
That's a given.
You know, the desert has always been the desert. So when you come here, you got to get used to this. So stop complaining. But anyway, we do have a little touch of fall in the air. And it is nice, you know. It's very nice. Natasha, do you like the cooler weather, Natasha?
Absolutely. Love it. I just love it. It's beautiful.
Do
finally.
You really?
Yes.
You really love it?
I do.
You love it? You know?
Well, like you said, there is no perfect weather for me.
Exactly. It's too hot. It's so too cold. It's just right.
At least it changed. That's a good
thing. It just changed. Okay.
Actually, telling her I brought a jacket when I looked outside, I was thinking it was going to be colder. I was hoping it would at least necessitate a jacket, but still
the
warmer.
Fact, even you know when it gets in the valley, it gets cloudy, it looks cold. You guys complaining about the heat will live to regret those comments, because by the time the middle of January comes around, it will be cool. It'll get all the way down to 60. Maybe even 55. Wow. And of course, our main topic today, I have something as we move along into this fairly lengthy segment I call How to Build a Positive Self-Concept. Today, I'm going to tell you how to wake up. I'm going to tell how to wake up and get on with your life. Another chapter as we figure out how to build a positive self-concept, okay? But first, as we always do, right about 10 minutes past the hour, every Thursday, shout-outs is on our agenda. Yeah, it is. In addition to the shout-outs we've already given, we'd love to give our shout-outs all to all the folks up in Denver. Denver, all my Taekwondo peeps up there. All right. To all my Taekwondo peeps down in Texas. You know what? I'm big over in the UK. Kurt, over in the UK. What up? VG in the Philippines. VG is doing great, sending you a message. She got 110% of her sales quota last month. You got to give her a shout out for that, Zach. Come on, give her a special. What up? Yeah, VG just for you. Larry and Kimmy kicking butt right here in the Bat Valley. D.C. and Michigan. Chris, you finished those 600 MCs, man? And his son Nick right here in the Valley. G.A., hey, I love you too, man. Hey, you keep on keeping on. You let me know what's going on. All righty. Let me see. Oh, Alfredo in Mexico. You know what? How's the weather down there? You know, I hear all the storms that come to Phoenix always come through Mexico first or up through Baja, you know, the Baja Peninsula. Andy over in Spain, know the weather's great there, always is. In Barcelona, even when it's raining in Barcelona, it's cool. I mean, just the name of it. You know, some cities, their names are just cool. When you hear Barcelona, you think cool. When you hear Paris, you think cool. You know, and there are some places you hear the name and you think that just can't be cool. You know, I mean, some places like Detroit. I mean, you're just thinking that can't be cool.
Wichita.
You know, Wichita. Oh yes. You know.
Not to hate.
Not.
Well, you guys just know all the best places.
You know,
Phoenix is pretty cool.
Phoenix is, but you don't get that same feel. Phoenix, when you hear Phoenix, you think blah. You just, that's what you think. You think blah. You know, you don't think, I mean, what is Phoenix known for? Heat. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, most people have never been to Phoenix. And usually when you get here, you're always surprised. But when you hear the name Barcelona, wow. You think beaches. You think cool people. You think people who know how to dress and wear beards. You know what I'm talking about?
Not quite the same cachet.
It's just not. Very much. Or Paris, you know? So, but there are some places, you know, like if you go to Thailand, you know, there are some cities in Thailand that when you hear the names of them, you go, uh-oh, be cool. You know? So, there are places around the world where just the name of it makes you feel that it's very continental, very sophisticated. When you hear New York, okay, you know, New York. Now, I don't care where you are, New York, very
City's
cool.
So great, they named it twice.
Very cool, New York. All right, am I right on that? Barcelona, you know. So, I mean, but when you go to Germany, none of the cities. I mean, there may be some very cool cities in Germany, but when just you know, Luxembourg doesn't just roll off your lips. It's not like Barcelona.
Frankfurt.
Oh, sounds like something. Sounds like something you want to put some ketchup on and eat.
German language is not like easy okay. rolling language.
Exactly.
You can't expect their cities sound like Spanish or French cities.
I'm just having fun with all you guys right now. Don't send me any emails. I tear those up. I want you to know right now. Oh, you can't take me seriously on that. If you do, you deserve to feel bad. Okay, Andy out in Spain. Al in South FLA. Every place in Florida is cool compared to Phoenix. Except St. Petersburg. There are just too many old people there to count. I mean, wow. Ryan Hodges up in Alaska, our furthest west listener. There you go. Shout outs again. Okay. Oh, man. You know, sometimes I'll ask questions of folks here in the studio that I'm really asking you guys out there. Has any of you guys ever wondered how I created and what I was thinking about when I made the 3-2 eating plan. You ever think about that? Have you ever thought about that, Ava?
I think about it.
You've thought about that, Natasha?
Yes. I think you would think about yourself first.
You know,
how would it be appropriate for your body?
But I was thinking, because, you know, how'd you come up with that? What led your thinking? What were you trying to do? And how'd you come up with that combination? What were you looking for when you created the 3-2 eating plan? Well, or when I created the Mac Shake itself, not just the 3-2 that leads into it. The Mac Shake, 16 ounces of orange juice, a whole banana, half a red apple, and half a green pear liquefied. It was right around the time that my left hip went south, in the late 70s, 1970s. That's when I was first diagnosed as having a degenerative left hip. I knew something was going to be wrong with it because I, you know, come back from overseas with some problems working with my hip. And so when I got diagnosed, I wasn't totally surprised, disappointed. And, you know, here I am at the top of my game athletically, and then all of a sudden, your body lets you down. And the diagnosis let me know that I was really in for a lifetime with this, that if I was going to be able to continue on with my Taekwondo career, I knew nothing of artificial hips and what that represented at the time. But I did know that if I had any intention of continuing, health was going to be of paramount importance to me overall as my life went on. And I needed everything I could. So I started studying. And I read a book, and I'm not sure. I mean, those of you might want to write this one down. I have to double check this. But I thought it was called The Miracle of Life. And that book was talking about the miracle of life, or one of the elements, body pH balance, alkalinity, acid-base balance. And personally, I mean, I'd heard of these things in high school. I really didn't know that much about it. I'd studied it somewhat in biology, but just enough to pass the course. I simply really didn't know how it related to me. And I think a lot of things in school are like that, Zach. When you're studying algebra, I mean, you don't have an idea of how it relates to your life in the real world. You're dissecting frogs, and you don't know exactly what that really means to you, or it might mean to you at any point in time. And certainly pH balance, it sounded like a foreign language. Alkalinity, acid base, what is this all about? Well, at this point in time, out of this book, it said that this was the miracle of life, that it seemed they were trying to imply that so many cancers were related to the fact that people's bodies were acidic, and that cancer cells grew or proliferated in an acidic environment, and that you could be healthier if your body was more alkaline. And that got my attention, because I needed everything I could to become healthy. Well, I started experimenting at that time with breakfast. The breakfast, how do you breakfast? The breakfast that America eats, I knew that was not a good thing. We get up in the morning and we break our fast with anything from a bagel and cream cheese and a cup of coffee, or maybe we have an English muffin and some jam and some eggs, or we'll mix in some sliced bacon with that, more coffee, maybe a bowl of cereal perhaps with some milk over the top. But anyways, we're talking about refined and processed carbohydrates, a couple slices of bread, dump that in. And sometimes some people might even have some fruit, but usually after the bread, the bagel, the English muffin, the roll, and the coffee. So I knew that this was not the way to health. I didn't know why. It just didn't sound right to me. eating something that has no real place in reality. I'm talking bacon. I mean, bacon is not a real food. You know, it's like chicken nuggets. Where do chicken nuggets? Where are they on the chicken? And where exactly is bacon on the pig? Well, you know, there is no bacon. Bacon is manufactured, just like chicken nuggets. It has to be created from something that's on the pig, all right? And it becomes something completely different, something you really don't want to eat. And that's how Americans start their day. I wasn't going to be able to live that way. So the more I found out about the secret of life and the thing, the miracle of life, and the parts that really make it happen, electrolytes, right at the top of the list, potassium, magnesium, zinc, all of these things contained in fruits and raw vegetables. You know, one of my heroes, who just recently passed away, helped my memory out now.
Jack LaLanne.
Thank you. At that time, I had a TV program, and he was all about juicing certain things, but he didn't give a lot of. He wasn't talking along the lines of the, you know, miracle of life or the secret of life. He wasn't talking alkalinity and acid-based balances. He was just talking tastes good, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, I didn't really care how it tasted. I wanted to know who was going to make me healthier. And I needed something that was going to be big in potassium. That seemed to be the big one. So I started researching all these things. I didn't really like the idea of green vegetables for breakfast liquefied because I needed sugar. So that means I had to start with fruits. A lot of people think that orange juice is very acidic, and they think that they can't drink it. And a lot of people can't. In fact, I just had a young man in my studio earlier this week who said exactly the same thing. He says, orange juice upsets my stomach, and I resisted drinking it when I joined here, but you told me just do it anyway. And with the Mac Shake, I drank it, and it did not upset my stomach. That's because the Mac Shake is alkaline as it is mixed up. It is an alkaline drink. It doesn't become alkaline inside of your body. It is alkaline. However, a lot of fruits are acidic. However, they become alkaline during the digestive process. Sometimes as soon as you start to masticate, chew it up, that it mixes with the enzymes in your mouth and it becomes alkaline in nature. So that's one of the things that makes fruits important. The problem with most people is they eat fruits after they eat the toast or the bread or the roll or the bagel or the English muffin. You see, now you just drop that bread in there, and now everything that your metabolism is doing has to shut down, stop, in order to start processing and metabolizing this salt, sugar, white flour, and yeast. That's going to take quite a while. So now you pull in that fruit on top of it, and it's just sitting on top of that roadblock, accumulating, doing exactly what? Yeah, you know exactly what it's doing. It's becoming something else. All right, it becomes something else. It starts to change and become, now instead of being alkaline, it becomes very acidic inside of your system. It's been sitting there too long while your body tries to clear up that roadblock. Now by the time it's maybe not even finished with breakfast, you're eating lunch now, and it's more bread and more yeast and more stuff that you're stuffing in there on top of that. So your body's going to take that it's not even finished with, throw it off into your lower intestines and your gallbladder. All right, now it starts to accumulate it because no digestive action is going to be taken there. Now it starts to work on your next one. So that can just sit there over time and accumulate and become 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds of undigested waste in your lower intestines and gallbladder simply because you can't digest white flour, processed foods, complex carbohydrates. You're not supposed to eat it in the first place. We insist on eating it in everything. We need to get that simple sugar into our bloodstream quickly. Where is it going to come from? Fruits. Mac shake. But I wanted, in addition, all those electrolytes. Bananas. A lot of people think bananas are miracle foods. I don't. I think that they're kind of a middling fruit. I think that they do have a lot of potassium in them. I believe that. I think they're a very good fruit. A lot of people, well, you know, the monkeys and apes, they eat those things and makes them healthy. Well, they eat a lot of stuff besides bananas. The bananas are very, very good. You know, the more they ripen, the higher in sugar they become. They are very high in antioxidants. So they're a good fruit. It's not the best. But it mixes well with my orange juice, binds well with that. And now I put an apple. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know what? That's a pretty good saying. Because a lot of vitamin A in there, and a lot of that's the apple is a good fruit as long as you eat the skin, and so are pears. And here's the best thing: they're available all year round, you know, in most places. So here you are; they all live together very well in a liquefied environment. Bananas, orange juice, apples, and pears. Boom, 32 ounces. Drink that down. We've got electrolytes out the window. We got lots of it, and you know, we got 32 ounces, 442 calories, and we've got lots of simple sugar. You're going to drink it down, boom, your body's going to absorb it. If you ever had the Mac shake, you know that you're going to be hungry again in about an hour, because your body pretty much absorbs it, okay? And the energy is immediate. I mean, it just perks you right up. You drink it, zoom, your body absorbs it. And that's why I originally designed that thing. I needed breakfast. I needed breakfast, a way to get off to a good start. But you've got to have the fruit first. You can't eat bread and then put your Mac shake on top of it. You know what? The kiwi fruit is probably one of the most interesting fruits on the planet. I call it, you know, a little mighty mite, little teeny things. They're tasty. But you know what? Beyond just being tasty, they're very, very high in potassium. I think, from my research, one of the highest in potassium and other electrolytes in the fruit family. Why is it in the Mac shake? Doesn't mix well, doesn't bind well, and becomes acidic inside of the drink. Can't drink that. So you know what you do? You eat them separately. Eat them throughout the day, but eat them on an empty stomach. Eat all of your fruit on an empty stomach. I say to people, first thing you do when you get up in the morning, drink the Mac shake first. Have I not say that to you?
Yes.
And I said, oh, I'll eat it later in the day. Don't do that. Don't get other stuff in your system. Eat your fruit. Drink your Mac shake first. Get all your fruit in there first, okay? This is the way that you help fight cancer. I don't think there are any cures, miracle cures, and I'm certainly not touting this as one of those. I think that's ridiculous. But I tell you what, you do all the things that you can do to give yourself the best chance. And keeping yourself more alkaline is a really, really good way to do it. Those of you on the 3-2 will notice all sorts of things are tied into improvement. Your skin gets smoother. If your eyes were red, they clear up. Your hair gets thicker. All kinds of good things start to happen to you. As I said, your skin gets smoother because you know what? It thickens out. Your skin starts to get thicker as you drink more water, and you get a thicker collagen base right underneath your initial layers of skin, and it starts to smooth out. A lot of people think they had a facelift before they did that. So, all right, what am I talking about here? Eating fruit. Don't just buy fruit and eat it. Eat it first. Eat it on an empty stomach, and it's going to play a major role in detoxifying your system. Start your day every day with the Mac Shake. It's going to supply you with a great deal of energy and for your activities and for weight loss. I think it's the most important food, especially to start your day. Don't drop the bread in, okay? You're going to prevent your body from getting that fruit into your intestines and digesting it, okay? Because when that fruit sits on top of that bread or muffin, it just starts to rot, literally. I know it doesn't sound good, but it starts to rot and it starts to ferment sitting in your system. And what does fermentation tell you? It's no longer alkaline. It is now acidic, and it's already in your system. So you've got a digestive process, like you got a digestive juice in your stomach. You don't want it there. Now, so the way we combat that is not to change our diet, but now we want to take more antacids, okay? And now we get a brand new disease that comes in, acid reflux. What the hell is that? I don't think the cavemen were dealing with that one, Natasha. I mean, please eat your fruit, okay, on an empty stomach. I mean, do you really want, you know, rotting food, spoiling food inside of your stomach? That's what's happening. Okay? So eat the fruit on an empty stomach. Drink your Mac shake first, even throughout the day. If you're going to eat your first of all, I don't eat bread. Okay? I don't eat bread. I don't eat yeast. I don't eat stuff like that. I don't eat cheese. I don't eat sauces. I don't eat stuff like that that's going to sit in my stomach in the first place. But still, even though I'm going to eat something with berries on it every day, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. Strawberries is Superman in the food, in the fruit kingdom. You should be eating strawberries at least 3 or 4 times a week. But again, eat it on an empty stomach. Okay? All right. Watermelons are good, very good source of water, but a better source is to just drink water. But watermelons are good. They're great. They have a lot of antioxidants. It's good. As I mentioned, I talked to you about the kiwi fruit already. Great, small but mighty. And the apple a day keeps the doctor away, no doubt about it. I look at the strawberry, that's your protective fruit. That's the one that's going to put up a wall around you. It probably has the highest total antioxidant power among all of your major fruits. And it helps protect your body from cancer-causing, blood vessel-causing, clogging free radicals, okay? So strawberries have got to be high on your list. Natasha, I eat those every day?
Yes, you do.
I eat them every day. Strawberries every single day, and you got to eat it before you eat the bread. Eat it before you eat the bread. You look at the 3-2 eating plan, 3 things you can eat. Protein. That means meat, including all of you poor deranged people out there who are pretending to be vegetarians. All right? You are misled and confused. Stop it right now. Okay? Don't do it. It's idiotic. Don't do it. Meat. And don't tell me, well, I'm a vegetarian, but I only eat chicken and fish. Please, stop it. Chicken and fish is meat. What do you think that is? That's called lean source protein, okay? Fish, chicken, beef, pork, it's all the same. Lean source protein, get it there. They all have different characteristics and can all help you. You need a wide variety of all of those things, okay? Well, that's what you need. Okay, never drink cold, ice cold water. Why? Number one, the molecules are too large. The colder it is, the larger the water molecules are, and it slows down its absorption into your cells and doesn't hydrate your body. All right. Next, I'm going to tell you what happens. You take fat that you eat in any shape or form, and the longer it's warm, the more liquid it is. Right. You pour something cold on it and you start to see it congeal right there. So why do you want to run cold water down your system when you're eating, you know, fatty food, which we really got to eat anyway? Don't do that. You're going to interfere with your digestive process by drinking cold water. Right? Don't drink cold water with your meal at all. Drink room temperature water and drink it all day. All right. Okay. Don't do it. I mentioned your watermelon, very cool thirst quencher. Great thing to have on a picnic, great thing to have in your car. Natasha loves it, all right? It helps boost your immune system. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. What, am I lying here?
No. I love
okay,
watermelon,
good. Right.
One of my favorites.
I'm going to keep her on the straight and narrow. When she ever sees something silly, I go, hey, what is that over there? And I have to do that every once in a while, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Every once in a while,
I'll say, what exactly is that you're going to eat there? And you know what the reason she gives me for eating that? Look good. That looked good. You know what? Bacon looks good, too. So does ham. Get a big old ham slice out there. That's another thing. What exactly is a ham?
It doesn't look good to me. I never eat bacon and ham.
Oh, you don't? Oh, what, you trying to pull yourself out of this mess right now? Huh? Is that what you're trying to do?
No.
Do you really want to make this conversation? Do you really want to get involved in this?
No.
Do you? Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Zach.
Do you really want to do that? Okay, so
well, what about cherries? I love cherries. Are they any good for me?
Okay. Okay, gang. All right, gang, it is now 29 minutes past the hour. And let's start a little bit more of John Coltrane as we get ready to take a break at the bottom of the hour. So, you know, when you look at papaya, guava, these more, they're kind of exotic fruits, very high in vitamin C, but vitamin C rich fruits are easy to find. They're everywhere, and nothing is better at vitamin C than good old-fashioned orange juice, okay? Orange juice, not orange drink. And don't get this orange juice with added stuff into it. Forget about that. This is just some people ripping you off, okay? Don't do it. Hey, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, trying to help you guys get healthy just like me, okay? We can do it if we stick together, gang. We're listening now to one of my favorite jazz musicians of all time, the late, great John Coltrane. More on John Coltrane after this break. We're sitting here in the studio in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, on a threatening gray afternoon with the Magic Man, Zach Geist, the fabulous Natasha, looking terrific, but doesn't want to talk too much about some of the things she might want to eat once in a while. And, of course, A-Bomb, who's laughing but keeping her mouth shut on that subject as well. Okay. I'm going to let you guys take a break for just a minute. You stay right where you are. More of the Mac Daddy and the Power Hour coming right back after these messages.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Hey gang, welcome back. Can't you just imagine yourself sitting in a nice, intimate little one flight down, little speakeasy, getting yourself a table over in the corner, kicking back, looking up at the bandstand, and there's a young man bent over his saxophone with a rhythm section behind him, and he's kicking this out. That's what jazz is all about right there. When your day is over, this is just gonna chill you right out. Truly music for the soul. John Coltrane, born September 23rd, 1926, and passed away far too early, July 17th, 1967, at the age of 40 years of age. And lots of controversy about how he passed away. We do know, and I'm not going to linger on, as I never do with my guests, my musical guests here. I like to talk about the good things, but we know he struggled with heroin addiction, and a lot of people feel that his death was caused by complications regarding a heroin addiction and its far-reaching effects on the human body. But either way, the creativity and the music he left us far outweighs us for us to be preoccupied with that. If anything, we can learn from it and not make those same mistakes ourselves. And we can only hope that we can contribute to the world the creative genius that John Coltrane left behind. Add his music to your music collection. Late great John Coltrane's music we're listening to today on the Power Hour. All right, gang, welcome back. Welcome back. We just finished our early segment today on the 3-2 eating plan and the effects of the positive effects of how to eat fruit and how much fruit to eat, and just a little information about that, and how I came up with the parts of the 3-2 eating plan, and most specifically the Mac shake. So as Zach very astutely pointed out during the break, he said you were watching something on some commercial that was on the air. What were you talking about, Zach?
I want to say it's like some yogurt commercial or something. Yeah. You know, it's trying to pitch eating healthier, but just got a split screen showing somebody just eating garbage all day, and it's kind of a point of view just showing the hand going towards the mouth.
Sure.
And the other side is somebody making healthier choices. But just, you know, as everything we discussed, I think it really gets down to, even I know myself, just stopping and literally consciously thinking about what you're putting in your mouth, and, you know, like as we said, making this chemistry experiment inside your belly.
Yeah.
You know,
and wondering why you're bloated, and wondering why you have indigestion, and wondering why you're popping antacid pills, and wondering why the colon cancer is raising at such unbelievable rates these days. When you think of people are encouraged to have, a hot hamburger with all the grease and bread that's contained in it, and of course drink down an ice cold beer at the same time, so you can congeal all that fat and stuff inside of your stomach and your intestines, and let it sit there and coagulate and become more toxic and cancer-like, and wonder why we are not getting healthier as our technology and our knowledge increases.
You worry about medications interacting, but I think it makes sense to think about foods interacting too, now that you brought it up.
Well, I brought it up for a long, long time, long ago. It certainly was in my thinking. It's what's allowed me to stay as healthy as I am, as I've battled all of these issues that I wouldn't say have plagued me, because I'm going to get into that right now as I start our second segment. It is now exactly 35 minutes past the hour of 5 in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We do it every single Thursday at 5 o'clock. And wherever you are, we're really happy that you tuned in. You had a choice. But do me a favor, gang. If you like the show, tell someone else. That's how we grow. And boy, are we ever. Our listeners are just all over the world now and are sending me notes just... They all say the same thing. They just simply say thank you. And I will simply say, you're welcome. I'm happy you feel that way. Okay? So let me talk to you about our main topic, which I'm going to entitle Waking Up. Okay? Waking Up from Sleep. Waking Up from Sleep. Sort of a mental sleep. I have two parts of my adult life. pre-1988 and post-1988. Pre-1988, irresponsible, blaming, excuse-ridden, talented but never fulfilling the possibilities, most known for wasting talent, wasting opportunities, and post-1988, frightened and afraid that my day had passed and I wouldn't get another opportunity to make my mother's life add up to something since she died at 15. But now, obsessed with finding answers to how I could fulfill this supposed wealth of talent that was inside of me. But at this point in time, I was now doubtful if that talent was there or just a figment of my imagination. Because wasn't it true, as they say? Use it or lose it? I had not used it, so maybe I had lost it. I was not sure anymore. But anyway, in the late 80s, I started a quest to become the real me. But I was still obsessed with blaming. I still traced a lot of stuff that happened to me back to, well, how I was born. There was still a lot of blame there. You know what? When we look at our lives, there's blame to go around. We've got a lot of it. We get good at blaming people and things and places for stuff that goes on to us and with us. So I'm going to kind of get out there a little bit. I'm going to ask you to open your minds and bear with me. I had to create a process where I could look at this world and see beyond myself. I had to find a way to where I could somehow distance myself from the blame and recrimination that I was spreading around to all those places around me that seemed to justify me being where I was, my underachievement. Even in the face of me wanting to be different, still, the habit of placing blame never was too far away from my thinking, especially when I failed again. And failure is always going to be our partner. So I call it waking up. You begin this process of waking up by reflecting on parts of your life, past, present, and future. I started, and you can too, start by imagining. And as I said, you're going to have to open your mind and stay with me now. I want you to take this trip. I want you to stay with me and don't think, oh, you can't do that or that doesn't make sense. Just fly with me here for a while, okay? We're going to go out across the universe. I want you to start by imagining that before you were born, somewhere on the other side of the universe, on the other side of the cosmos, way far away, you had evolved. Yes, you. You had evolved over many lifetimes to become a particular type of person with a particular set of qualities or interests, talents, and abilities. It doesn't matter what you think about the idea of reincarnation. It's not about that. Just stay with me. Okay? I'm not for or against any of our already accepted ideas. You stay with me here for a while, you'll find out exactly where I'm coming from. I'm going to use this as an exercise, and it's an exercise with a point that I think will become abundantly clear in just a moment. I want you to continue with this line of thought with me, and imagine that you deliberately chose your own parents. Yeah. That you actually chose the situation that you were born into and that you were brought up in. That it wasn't a matter of chance. That you had evolved over time on the other side of the cosmos. And you were a particular kind of a person with particular interests and abilities, and you knew that in order to improve and grow as a person, you needed to be in a certain kind of situation that would expose you to certain kinds of things that would create growth. So you chose, you deliberately, your parents, and you chose the situation that you were born into and you were brought up in. And you did this because at your stage of personal growth and evolution, there were very specific lessons about yourself, about life, and about other people that you had to learn, and which you could not continue living, and that you could learn in no other way. Imagine, too, that the person you are today, especially the good qualities that you've developed, have evolved primarily, or at least partially, as a result of those difficult experiences that you had growing up, and especially as a result of the problems that you had with one or both of your parents. Now, here's an important question. If you learned that you had deliberately chosen your parents, and that the person you are today had come about as a direct result of this choice of yours, how would this discovery change your attitude toward your parents and the experiences of your childhood? I don't know about you, but it gave me a completely different perspective on not just my parents and the circumstances of how I was brought up, but almost all of the other burdens that I've been forced to carry. Wow. That I am the person I am today. Let me ask you another question. Would you be more positive and accepting toward and of your parents? Would you see yourself and your past experiences in a different light? Would you even become more philosophical, more thoughtful, more objective? Toward what up to now might have appeared to be just a very difficult and unpleasant and unwanted time of your life. Could you? Would it? Possibly? Maybe? Well, as you begin to think about this idea about having deliberately chosen your parents, maybe now you can also begin to see the possibilities that you had totally ignored up to now. Instead of seeing yourself as I did in the past, as just a passive agent or a victim of what had been going on. Just caught up in these series of circumstances or situations, totally beyond my control. Now I began to see myself as a participant in my own evolution as a person. Wow. Let me take this moment to tell you a story I recently heard. It's about three monks. They were out on a hike and got caught in a major snowstorm. And they got trapped a long way from the monastery. And they were trekking back slowly but steadfastly. And they figured, well, if the weather could hold, they could probably make it back. But crossing a frozen stream, one of the monks crawling out of the stream slipped and broke his leg. And one of the other monks said, if we slow down, we're not going to make it. We're going to die. We're going to die of exposure and starvation. We must keep rolling. And off he set, trudging through the snow back toward the monastery. And the other monk said, okay. And he bent down and he picked up the one with the broken leg, put him across his shoulder, and slowly started trudging toward the monastery, step after step after step. Finally, after a long time of walking, the monastery comes into view. And they come over a hilltop, and they come upon the body of the first monk. And then they trudged on to the monastery. And they got there, and they were saying, how were you able to make it back when the other monk was not able to survive, even without carrying someone? He says, I was given additional strength because of the burden I had to bear. So let's take this exercise now just a little bit further. I'm making sense a little bit here, am I?
Yes, you are. You're making perfect sense. Yeah.
Okay. Imagine that you were put here on this earth to do something wonderful for your life, something that I imagined that I wanted to, but it was just a complete blur of impossibilities. It's not going to happen. Can't happen. But I wanted to be able to do something wonderful. I wanted to become the person that I am today. I can't tell you what it means to me to open up my email account and I'll see people sending me notes almost on a day-to-day basis. Just saying thank you. Whether it's Chris here in Phoenix or Al in Florida or Kurt over in London, or Dano in Hawaii, or GA telling me what I've meant to their family, and I've met very few of these folks. I never would have thought that possible, and I don't think that any of it would have become possible had I not learned this experiment and understood that carrying these burdens have developed characteristics within me and strengths that possibly I would not have had before, and that at some point in time possibly I knew of what I needed, and I purposefully selected these parents and this environment so I would build that, because without it there's no way I would have become this person. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Huh? I hope you're understanding what I'm talking about. I don't want you to be confused. Imagine that this is all part of a master plan that has been carefully designed with your best interest in mind, and that every event, every circumstance, every situation of your life is an indispensable part of a big, giant jigsaw puzzle, the outline of which you can only see when you stand back and you look at your life from a higher plane. when you stand back and you see it, you can see the plan. There are certain assumptions that we have to make. As a general rule, you have to assume that whatever your current situation or difficulty may be, it is exactly what you require right now to teach you something. I need this for some reason. I have to learn from this. You need to teach your, you need to know it before you can continue on this journey, before you can become the person you were born to be. You need this information. It is important. It's necessary. You can't get where you want to go without it. It's a passport. Without it, you would be turned away at the counter. With this perspective in mind, you can now see that every experience is a positive experience if you view it as an opportunity for continued growth and development within yourself as a person. Now, with complete calmness and be very clear in your thinking, I want you to mentally project your mind backwards. And think about how every previous experience and situation of your life might have been sent to you at exactly the right time to teach you something that you needed to learn so that you would continue moving toward that wonderful life that if you're not experiencing now, certainly awaits you. And that partially explains that even though that situation may have, as difficult and as painful as it may have been, did not kill you. And you may wonder how come it did not. It was never designed to kill you, and you were never in any real danger. It was sent to teach you a lesson, the lesson that you needed. And finally, imagine that the events of your life could not have been otherwise than they were, especially since you were operating on an autopilot of blame and finger pointing and excuse making most of the time. So as you stand back and appreciate this incredibly complex and interconnected system of events that have brought you to where you are right now on the precipice of a great undertaking, of a breakthrough, of launching yourself into a huge galaxy of influence and success. Now you begin to develop the perspective of the philosopher. You become what I talk about that we all need to be here on the Power Hour all the time. We need to become superior thinkers. Not just better doers, superior thinkers. Superior thinking. You begin to sort of superimpose, if you can imagine it, on your you sort of superimpose this on your experience, this what I call a sense of coherence. It's a feeling. It's a coherent attitude that your life is part of something greater than yourself. And that everything fits together and happens for a reason. There are no accidents. And next week, we will again review all of those universal laws, the law of cause and effect, the law of accident, the law of control, the law of belief, the law of expectations, and see how it fits in all together with what we're thinking about. And as you think of your life as a series of events and experiences that are almost in a conspiracy. All in a conspiracy designed for you to achieve some great goal or making some great contribution to humankind. You then start to develop that sense of destiny that is a real good feeling. And you know what? A lot of people are born with it, but you know what I found along the way? Since 1988, you can develop that sense of destiny. As I said, there were two me's. I've been two adults. And I found that that feeling, it's the hallmark of a mature and potentially great human being. And the reason that I do this show is that so-called average people can realize the greatness that might reside within them and the fact that no one was put here by accident, because my great-grandma would always say to me, God never made a stairway leading nowhere. And he saw every one of his creations as a stairwell with someone going someplace meant to accomplish something. There are no accidents, especially not where we're concerned. No person should view themselves as an accident. Everyone is here for a purpose. When you were born, the purpose was instilled. Your role in this life, now your job is to make that a reality. Your job is to make it a reality, irrespective of whether your parents were effective as parents or not, or what you might consider to be effective. Because if you've been listening to me and on this magical journey with me for the last hour or half hour on our second segment, then you know, or you would at least imagine, the possibility that you chose them. You selected them. And when I look at it that way, I'm no longer in blame. I'm no longer saying, geez, if only I'd had different parents, it would have all be better or been different somehow. Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. Something for you to think about till the next time we meet. I invite your comments and your questions. Send it to 7seven@macnewton.com. Remember now, I may not always answer the email, but if it's compelling enough, I'll talk about it on the air. But if you really need an answer, tell me you really need it, and I'll answer. Our musical guest host today was the late, and he died far too young, but he left a lot that contributes to our lives, that influences all these young, great saxophone players today that we've been playing for the last couple of weeks, like Richard Elliott, for one, okay? But he's around the time of, we played Paul Desmond last week or the week before, and you consider the cool, easy style of Paul Desmond to this hard-driving bebop style. I mean, this is not bebop, but you can see all the notes. They're beautifully played. Changed the whole style of tenor saxophone playing. John Coltrane, one of my favorites of all the jazz musicians. As always, gang, I want to remind you to be good to yourselves. Say, even if you do something crazy, say this: in spite of what I just did, I'm okay. I just got to get my attitude right. I'm okay. I'm still on track. All right? In spite of what I just did. Oh, man. And sometimes it may not be a bad idea to ask this question. How did something that ended up so wrong seem so right when I did it? Because if we can get a good enough why, maybe we won't do it anymore. All right? Because we do want to change. The idea is not to be sorry, but to be
better.
There you go. We want to be better, and we discussed ways of how to do that last week. So be good to yourselves, gang. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater is what the lawyers say. Be good. Be true to yourselves, too, okay? And that is simple. Keeping your words and your behaviors in harmony. All right? Let them match your thoughts and your actions. All right? I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock and Pat McMahon, JC, my good friend JB, we still miss him, and of course, the magic man Zach behind the glass, the fabulous Natasha. You know what? I don't know. If Natasha can't make it to the show, I think we'll just cancel that day. You know?
Yeah.
We just might do that, you know?
That's very flattering.
Yes, well, you should be flattered because I mean it. And of course, A-Bomb, you know, bringing her uniqueness to the show, too. Okay? I'm Mac Newton. They call me the Mac Daddy. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.